He suffered for us. We suffer too. Not, of course, the same way, and not, of course, for the same reasons. Nevertheless, we suffer too. We all experience pain and suffering. I worked for a couple of summers between university years as a builder's helper, and I experienced the suffering of smashed thumbs. Thankfully, they didn't have nail guns in those days, so I didn't pierce my hand with a nail. I also worked for a year and a half or so as a mechanic on heavy equipment. And I suffered many, many scraped and bruised knuckles when you're turning that spanner so hard and then suddenly it gives away and you bang your knuckles against the side of the machine. I've never been a cook, but I know that cooks suffer often scalding water and the embarrassment of a fallen pav. In life, we learn, however, there are deeper kinds of suffering. The suffering of broken relationships. The suffering of the loss of a loved one. And as we age, we experience the suffering of the indignity of weakness of body and mind. We all suffer, some more than others. Suffering is not foreign to any of us. In fact, the Bible teaches us that suffering is important for us and significant for us. The Bible teaches that it is because of human sin that we suffer. If we had no suffering, you see, we wouldn't be face to face constantly with that terrible sin that's caused it, that causes our misery. And so in that sense, suffering is important and significant. And God uses that suffering sometimes as a means of grace to draw us to see our need of a Savior and to draw us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. When we suffer, we are being told by God through that suffering, you suffer because of sin. You need a Savior. Peter in this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, speaks to servants and slaves. And he calls them to endure with patience their suffering, even at the hands of unjust masters. Now that's quite a call. It's bad enough when we suffer because we deserve it, when it's our fault. It's harder to suffer when no one is at fault. It's just in God's providence, things have turned bad for us, and we suffer. That's harder. Sometimes we're tempted to rail against God. But of course, He's not the cause of that, in the sense that He wants us to suffer. No, that's His providence to point us to our need of a Savior. But it's even worse when we suffer unjustly. And then, as our society tells us to, we want to fight for our rights and stand up for what we think should be ours. But the way of the Lord Jesus, as Peter teaches it in his book, chapter 3, verse 9, and the way that the Lord Jesus teaches us in his Sermon on the Mount is very different. We're taught not to pay back evil with evil. the way of our Lord and the way that we must follow as we follow Him is the way of overcoming evil with good. Bearing up when suffering unjustly, Peter says in verse 19, finds favor with God. And that's why Peter says he is our example, because he suffered unjustly. He is our example, and we are to follow his example in our suffering. But Jesus wasn't only and isn't only our example. And the Apostle Peter makes that clear in the last two verses of this chapter that we read, 1 Peter chapter 2. And that's our text. And I read it again. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus' suffering was unique, not like ours. It was unique in regard to its nature. He suffered to pay for our sins. His suffering was substitutionary. He was our substitute. It was unique in regard to its purpose. He suffered that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And thirdly, he suffered as regards to the effect or the result of his suffering. He suffered to heal and to reclaim us. You see, his suffering was different than ours. It was unique. And it's that unique suffering of our Savior that I want us to think about under those three points. First of all, unique as to its nature. He suffered for us to pay for our sins. Verse 24, the first part. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He himself bore our sins. Sins. It's a word not talked about very much in our society. But it's one of the most prominent themes in Scripture. It goes all the way back to the beginning, doesn't it? God commanded Adam, when he put him in that garden that he'd prepared as a home for him, God commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. And he warned Adam that if he did, he would surely die. Suffering and death is the penalty of sin. But God, in his great love, provided out of free grace a substitute so that we would not die, but we would live. And that substitute, of course, is his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And until Christ came, from the time of Adam until Christ came, God taught through the symbolic sacrifices that his people were to bring for their sins, he taught that the payment of sin was death, the shedding of blood. And the sin bearer, he taught, had to be perfect. Behind these words of the Apostle Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, lies that whole system of sacrifices in the Old Testament. And Peter here declares that Christ himself, he himself, that's emphasized. He himself suffered as our sin bearer. He himself, not an animal. No animal could take away our sins. But he himself suffered. The one who committed no sin suffered. He was the perfect sacrifice. He bore our sins in his body. He suffered in the flesh, in our human flesh. He was taking our place. We deserve to be there. And he took our place and died that cursed death in our place. You remember how it speaks in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in chapter 21. Cursed is the one who hangs on the tree. And Matthew makes it clear that that Jesus' death on the cross was a fulfillment of that word in Deuteronomy. He died a cursed death for us. So you see, Jesus' suffering was unique because he suffered and died as our substitute. None of us can suffer for another. We have our own sins to suffer for. None of us dies for another. We cannot. We are not a perfect sacrifice. He took our place. He became our substitute to pay for our sins. And brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Supper, we remember that he suffered and died in our place. We remember that it was our guilt, our sin, that held him on that cross. We sing of it when we sing the hymn by Johann Hermann, "Ah, Dearest Jesus." He says, "Who was the guilty?" Looking at the cross and seeing the terrible suffering of the Lord Jesus. And the question then arises in our minds, who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? And the answer, alas, my treason, Jesus, hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee, I crucified thee. He suffered and died as our substitute in our place. But his suffering was unique also in regard to its purpose. He suffered, as Peter says, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And it's an interesting phrase that Peter uses, die to sin and live to righteousness. I think that he got that from the Apostle Paul, because Paul uses that kind of language frequently in his letters. And we know that Peter read Paul's letters. He tells us that. You can look it up in 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 15. He refers to our beloved Paul who wrote these letters. He says that in some of his letters there are hard things to understand. Well, I agree with him on that. But he read the Apostle Paul's letters, you see. And I think he got that phrase from the Apostle Paul, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And so this answer that Peter gives as to why Jesus suffered is another reason why Jesus' suffering was unique. One of the purposes of Christ's death was our sanctification. That's what we're talking about when we speak about dying to sin and rising to righteousness or living to righteousness. This matter of our sanctification is also emphasized in all the letters of the apostles in the New Testament. And maybe we could summarize it all by the words of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 14. How important is sanctification? Absolutely important, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And there are two aspects to our sanctification that Peter mentions here. The first is that we might die to sin. And that's something we must do every day. Dying to sin, putting off the old and taking on the new. turning from sin, fighting against temptation, living no longer under the power of sin. We've been set free, you see, so that we are not slaves anymore to sin. And then the other aspect of sanctification is that we might live to righteousness. Jesus suffered and died so that we could live in a way that pleases Him, that is in accord with God's commandments. That's the good way, and the way that brings glory to Him. And Jesus suffered and died so that in humble and joyful obedience, we might live to the praise of our God. Jesus' death for sanctification is seen in another of our hymns, and let me quote a few lines from it. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains He had to bear, but we believe it was for us He hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died to make us good, to sanctify us. We're not there yet. We're not good like God wants us to be. We have a long way to go. But in the Lord's Supper, we remember this purpose of Christ's suffering and death to sanctify us. And through the sacrament, Christ strengthens our faith to continue the fight against sin and to keep us pressing on toward the goal for which Christ has called us. Keep on pressing on toward that goal. But the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is unique for another reason, and that is because of its effect or result. We see that in the last part of verse 24 and then in verse 25. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. As Peter here refers to the result or the effect of Christ's suffering and death, notice the verb tenses he uses. You have been healed. You have now returned. Peter's describing some results, you see. Something that's been accomplished for us by Christ's suffering and death. And he quotes from Isaiah 53, verse 5, by His wounds you have been healed. Now, you're probably aware that some Christians think that this means that if our faith is in Jesus, we will always be healed from every sickness. And they refer to this passage, and they refer to Matthew chapter 8, in verse 16 and 17, where Jesus was healing all who had diseases and were brought to Him, and He healed them all. And there Matthew quotes Isaiah 53 as well. This was to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said, he says. And after all, say some Christians, after all, doesn't it teach us in Psalm 103 that God heals all our diseases? Psalm 103 in verse 3, He heals all our diseases? I have a book, well, I think I still have it, actually. It's in a box now, so I'm not quite sure. And it's a book I read once, and I put away, and I thought, no, I'm never going to read that again, nor am I going to give it to anyone. And it's entitled, Jesus Wants You Well. And he argues this case just as I've tried to argue it for Christians who believe that Jesus wants us to be healed of every sickness. Yes, it is true. Jesus wants us well. Yes, it is true. Jesus, in His suffering and death, heals us also from every sickness and disease. But we must understand the context of Isaiah 53, the context that Peter's talking about here. And that context is, first of all, the focus on sin, which is the cause of our sickness and our disease. And you see, until sin is completely removed, the things that it causes, the consequences of sin will not be completely removed. We can thank God for healing that He does give us, and sometimes miraculously, no doubt. And we can thank God for that. But we cannot expect that God will take all our sicknesses away until we see our Lord Jesus face to face and all sin has been removed from us. And that's made clear as we look at the context. By His wounds you have been healed. Notice the word for. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Why is it that we need healing? Because we strayed from God, that's why. Why is it that we get sick? Why is it that we suffer in this life? Because we have strayed from God, because the relationship between us, humans, and the life-giving God has been broken by sin. And until that relationship is restored, you see, we will suffer sickness and sorrow and death. But then comes the joy. That joy that is beyond our comprehension and our understanding, when we shall be with our Lord, and there will be no more sin, and no more pain, and no more suffering, and no more sorrow, for we will be with Jesus face to face. In the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that by Jesus' suffering and death, Jesus healed that broken relationship. And now we are united to Him. As our form for the Lord's Supper says, as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are fed with our Lord's crucified body and shed blood by His Spirit. Thus, Christ unites us with Himself and so imparts the precious benefits of His sacrifice to all who partake of Him. And so, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice and give thanks for the unique suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was unique in regard to its nature. His suffering made full payment for all our sins. It was unique in regard to its purpose. He suffered and died that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It was unique in regard to its effect. We are healed and restored by His suffering and death, and we shall live forever with Him. And that's why we can say with the beloved in the Song of Songs, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your grace, the grace which you have made known to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace which we see fully displayed in His life, in His suffering, and His death, the grace which restores us to fellowship with God, and will in due time completely remove all of the suffering and misery resulting from our sin. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.